It's Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. The historic floods of 2013 reshaped Colorado, and we're not speaking just metaphorically. The heavy rains actually changed the state's topography. Think of all the dirt and debris that careened down hillsides, the riverbanks that burst. Here to share their new research with us is CU Geography Professor Suzanne Anderson and Geology Professor Robert Anderson. They are married. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As anyone in the floodplain can confirm, you found the storm moved an enormous amount of dirt and rock. And I understand you calculated how long all of this material that was moved had been like building up. Is that correct, Bob?
That is indeed correct. We can calculate how much time it takes to generate by weathering the amount of debris that came out of these various. It takes hundreds of years to accumulate this much debris that then was jetted out of the mountain front by the floods.
Suzanne, is that to say that this debris is just chips and various pieces and parts that have been kind of eroded away over time? Is that what Bob's getting at?
Yeah, the debris was a material that we call colluvium, which is just sediment on a hill slope, and it is generated from the rock underneath by weathering over time. So yeah, small sand and gravel and all this material that covers our hill slopes.
So give us the skinny. How much of this material was there? And talk a bit about its movement, Bob.
You can think about this landscape as operating with a sort of a two-step process. One of this very slow, everyday weathering of debris, weathering of rock that generates debris, as Suzanne suggested. That takes place at rates that are extremely slow, sort of the width of a human hair per year, an inch per thousand years. That's very slow. It's weathered in place. Then it moves down slopes again very slowly. And then it takes these big events, apparently, like the big storm we had in 2013, to trigger landslides, which then perform the rest of the step two, to get the debris out of the mountain front.
This debris that you say had been building up for 400 years, and what can we say about how much there was?
Well, we were able to measure the volume of the landslides and debris flows, the scour by debris flows that came careening down our hill slopes. And then you take that volume and divide it by the area of the basin that it came from, and that gives you a lowering rate, an average lowering rate for that basin. And what we measured is that on average, these basins came down by 15 or 16 millimeters, so about half an inch, averaged over the whole basin that generated the flow in that one storm event. So that's what's it may not sound that impressive as a single number, but when you think about it averaged over the whole basin, it's a very big number.
Yeah, Robert.
Especially when it's produced at these rates that are, human hair thicknesses in a typical year.
Exactly. That is where the contrast really comes. We talk about this in terms of disaster, but you're talking about this, Bob, in terms of natural processes. These two processes, the micro and the macro, the quick, happening hand in hand, right?
Absolutely. Yes, there are hazards that these floods pose. As we saw, many people had their homes either flooded or hit by debris flows. And obviously, we sympathize with those who were harmed. And in part, our work is designed to help in future floods assessing the risks. But on the other hand, they're exciting to us because they are rare, and it's actually rare to have the opportunity to study such events.
So I'm curious if, Suzanne, you look around the basin, and maybe you can say more about what the basin is, and if you still see evidence of the floods today.
Well, sure, you see evidence of the flood. And the basin that we're working in is the Boulder Creek watershed. It extends from the headwaters of the Continental Divide out to the plains. These landslides that we were documenting were almost entirely found on the walls of the canyons in the mountains. And there are also a number of small ones that happened on the hogbacks that line the are right along the edge of the plain. So the really steep slopes in this topography, in this landscape.
You relied on laser technology of sorts to observe what you observed. Is that right, Bob?
Yeah, absolutely. The technology that was used is called LIDAR, which is light detection and ranging, which is basically a pulsed laser that is flown in a plane or helicopter that shoots a swath of pulse laser at the ground and documents the time it takes for that laser pulse to get back to the plane, to the instrument. You can even see through trees and basically decloak the landscape from its vegetation, which allows us, therefore, to come up with maps of the bare ground.
Well, someone was prescient and flew that LIDAR mission before the flood, I guess.
That's right. We had data that was collected in 2010, and that's how we knew that we were poised to go out and analyze in detail with this tool these failures when the storm happened.
So you hinted at the fact that this kind of research could be helpful in preparing for future floods, and I suppose that's because you have gleaned something about the type of earth that moves and in what types of places they move.
Yeah, we were able to identify precise locations and sizes of failures. And so we can tell you with some precision the steepness of the slope. We compared the locations of failure sites with the surrounding topography and find that the failures seem to happen with equal probability on all different slopes that are facing different directions, but they had to be steep. But it is one of our questions as we move forward, thinking about, well, why did some of these 25-degree and steeper slopes fail and others not fail?
You can think of the slow everyday processes as slowly loading up the gun, that is the wrinkle in the landscape, the top of the channel, and then the storm acting as a trigger that fires the gun. If there's no debris in the channel, the gun's not ready to fire. And so it may well be that some of the channels were ready to fire, had enough debris in them to trigger a landslide, whereas others had insufficient loading of the gun. Those would be sites that might go in the next big storm.
Rosy thoughts. Thank you both. Thank you both for being with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much, Ryan.